Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In many years, I have chosen a passage for Stewardship Sunday that was not a lectionary reading. That is not the case this year. You would be hearing a message about these readings today, regardless of whether today was Stewardship Sunday. So, I don't have anything brilliant to say to you. I'm not a financial advisor. I had one interview with a small investment bank when I was in college. That was one interview, and then that ended. And then business school, as I may have said in the past, on the first day of finance, I realized I was a week behind, and so I became a marketing major. That doesn't mean I don't have to work with money. That's part of running a church, and I've also dealt with it in volunteer situations. But these readings are kind of harsh. And I want to look at Zephaniah for a moment, and then we're going to really jump into Matthew. I suspect some of you have seen the cartoon about people trying to take it with them when they die, and they want to load the heavenly hearse up with all their possessions, and it's not granted admission into heaven. That has been known by the faithful for a long time. And it's here in this passage where Zephaniah prophesies, neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a full and terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. You cannot take it with you. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to earn money. This is not a critique of our economic system. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a comfortable retirement. God bless you if you do. But you can only do so much with your money. At some point, it's going to continue on if you've got it, and you're not. Which brings us to the passage from Matthew. And this is a really harsh parable. And Jesus, of course, really didn't pull punches when he was trying to teach people. He wanted to lay facts out. And some of us may be uncomfortable using the language of slaves, so we'll use the more contemporary servants. But back then, slaves or servants could often be entrusted with a lot of responsibility by the boss or master. And we know that there are very highly placed freedmen who were former slaves throughout the Roman Empire. And they also existed in Judea and Israel. So we have this master, this boss, let's call him, who goes off on vacation and decides to give his servants something to do while he was away. And that's not unreasonable, is it? When your boss goes on vacation, you normally have things to do too. And maybe you'll be asked to do something more. But in this instance, this boss decided to entrust his servants with some money. Now, that's kind of surprising that one guy is given 10 talents, which is a huge amount of money. A talent was, by one estimate I saw, about 15 years worth of a day laborer's wages. So one servant was given a lifetime's earnings to invest. And another one was given a smaller amount, but still a substantial amount of money, a couple of years' worth of wages. And then there was the last servant who was given one talent. And you've heard this story before. The servant who was given 10 talents invested it wisely and was able to earn a great return for his boss. The second servant, who was given a smaller amount of money, also made a good investment and was able to earn some returns for his boss. And the last servant, well, I hope nobody here would ever do what that last servant did. Digging a hole in the backyard and putting your money in the ground is a really bad investment strategy. Now, the parables and the gospel, in fact, the whole Bible, should not be looked to as a source of investment advice. There's a lot of great stuff in Scripture. There's a lot we can learn from Scripture. But the guidelines to successful investment or how to plan for your retirement are not here. There is nothing about investing your money. There is, however, in this parable from Matthew, which Jesus is sharing at the end of his life. He's getting ready to go off to Jerusalem and have the big showdown with Pilate and the religious authorities, was trying to teach his disciples how they should live. And this story is included in Scripture because we all need to think about how we live. Now, I am not going to say that if you've got 10 talents, you should give them all to the church. I will not say that if you've got 2 talents. I will not say that if you've got 1 talent. But what you do with your money, and maybe you don't have a lot of money, but you've got talents. Each and every one of us in this sanctuary has skills. Now, I thank Ernie for being a musician because he shares his gift on the organ and the piano with us. And I thank the choir because they share the gift of their voices with us. And I can thank others of you in this congregation for sharing your various skills with us. Giving of ourselves is part of our stewardship. So I'm going to ask you not to bury your talents. And hopefully you had a chance to read the letter we sent out and reflect on the pledge form, and you'll notice there's an opportunity to volunteer your gifts in addition to your cash for the ministry of this church. We don't have some home office that is washing cash ready to subsidize us. We give them money, which is what helps them function. This church operates on a daily basis because of your stewardship gifts and because of the faithful giving of generations past. There are people who've included the church in their estates, and their gifts continue to work to this day. And there are many amongst you here today who have made pledges to this church, and your gifts help the church do its work. And we do various things. So I'll give you a couple examples. You've heard a lot over the last few months about the Open Door Ministry. People come to the back door of the church looking for assistance with gas cards and food cards. Brian, God bless him, handles that. And I occasionally get to talk with some of those folks. But those are real people. They're our neighbors. And they need our assistance. Our church provides a budget that allows me to represent FCC in the wider community. So last week, I went to a meeting sponsored by the Granite State Operating Project, which is a successor organization to the United Valley Interfaith Project. I went to this meeting so we could talk about housing. Housing is a real live issue up here in the Upper Valley. There are people here who do not have a place to sleep at night. There are people who do not have a place to stay tonight. We have an opportunity to help work on that. This afternoon, I'll be representing the church and the association at an ordination service for a young man who actually preached here once, John Torrey, who's a member of the Church of Christ at Dartmouth College, and a whole group of churches from the association will be coming together for that moment. I'll be representing you, and if any of you want to come to that service at 2:00, you're welcome to. But this is what the church does. It tries to make life better for folks while preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I can go and talk about certain billionaires and how they spend their money. But the billionaire I have in mind is not someone whose name I want to mention in church. But if you want to build a rocket ship, God bless you. If you want to own a social media platform, God help you. But is that what really matters at the end of the day? I once asked myself the question 20, 25 years ago, what would I want to say to my grandchildren on my deathbed? Did I want to say that I had been the guy who'd come up with the new ad campaign for dog food? Now, dog food's important. I had a dog. That marketing matters. But that was not how I wanted to spend my life. We have choices to make. We have skills to use. Each and every one of us has skills to use. And some of us can sing, or I should accurately say, some of you can sing. And some of you can play instruments. And some of you are good with numbers. And some of you are good with property management issues. And you can see I'm giving a pre-sermon for the nominating committee, because they will be coming to you relatively soon asking for your involvement in the year ahead in the life of this church. We don't do it all, Brian and me here, or Ernie. We have volunteers that we count on. We count on you. And this community counts on you. On Sunday mornings, I usually come into the sanctuary before worship to bring in my papers, and I often see Jeff Williams. I'm sorry to single you out, Jeff, but Jeff is a quiet, unassuming guy who every week is up in the balcony ringing our church bell. And that is a gift, and I thank you for doing that, Jeff. But that's a really big deal. Jeff is here like clockwork. And that bell is a sign to the entire community that we're having church. Now, I don't know how each and every one of you found yourself in the sanctuary for the first time. It may have been for a funeral. It may have been a newspaper ad. It may have been an email you saw. Maybe I said something at one point. Maybe a friend here invited you. Maybe you heard the bell and you wanted to come here. But once you came in the doors, you were at a place that was going to ask something of you. And the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to reflect on your commitment to Jesus. What are you willing to give God? I had an argument, I don't want to say an argument, but a disagreement with a member of the congregation in Concord about something I said once. And he was a nice guy. I liked him. He recently passed away, but he was a physician and an accomplished physician. And he took issue with my statement that everything we have is a gift from God. Now, if you've gone to school and earned advanced degrees or any degrees, or if you've had a job for a number of years and you put in the time, you might think, this is a result of my hard work. I don't owe anybody anything. But let me ask you, who gave you the brains in your head? Who decided you'd be born? Not you, not me. We had nothing to do with the fact that we are here on God's green earth. So we should give God thanks. And yes, I will be crass. I will say money in the plate and money in the pledge form is helpful to the church. But God wants your heart in addition to your wallet. God wants your love. And the way you can show God your love is by showing your love to other people. Now, if you read the newspaper or look for the news online, you'll know that there's not a lot of love in the world right now. People are being beastly to one another. And I can argue that sometimes it's justified, but it's still awful. And I know it sounds like a kumbaya saying, let's go out and show some love to one another. But if we can't show it to one another here in the sanctuary, and I think we do a fairly good job of that, What kind of message are we sending out about the church? My hope is that you feel the church is a place that is worthy of your time and your investment of your gifts and of your skills. There's an old formula that's used in the church, and you've possibly heard before, about time, talent, and treasure. I find that to be kind of trite and a little bit disingenuous. But those are the three things we have to give. And in today's world, it's really easy to say, I don't have any time. I'll just write a check. One of the things that you're going to be supporting in the coming year, hopefully, is a new addition to staff. And that will be someone working with our youth. This church was blessed to have Marsha Corkins and Nan Parsons working with the Children's Community Corner for many years. That was like winning a lottery. And the lottery is not something you win often. But we need to be able to put some time and some talent and some effort into our children's ministry. And you've heard people complain about what we pay school teachers. That's true for the church too. I don't know that this church has ever done this, but many churches have often looked at the young people who come to church, perhaps college students, as perfect people to work in the church school. Oh, they're young people. They can work with the young folks. There isn't the question, do those college students want to work with those young people? And the assumption is they'd be volunteers. But working with small children requires a lot of time and energy and effort. And we are fortunate to have two women who were willing to donate that to us year in and year out. And then circumstances change, and they weren't able to do that anymore. I am not going to ask anybody here to raise their hand and say that they will volunteer to run the children's ministry. I am asking you all to pray for this church as it begins to look for someone to fill that position. And we're still finalizing the job description. But we'll find someone good, someone that you feel comfortable with putting your children with and putting our children with, who can help them learn about the Bible and learn about Christian living. Now, I'm going to make a promise now so you can see where your dollars are going, but I'm going to offer some educational programming in the coming year about the Bible, because I heard in some conversations we had that one of the challenges that parents are facing is they don't know about Scripture. Would you like to learn more about Scripture? I hope so. And I hope you find the sermon on Sunday morning isn't sufficient to meet that need. So that's coming. But I'm going to lay the ask out clearly for you now. And I used to do this for a living before I went to the ministry. I'm sorry I'm not taking you all out to lunch or dinner. I used to have a budget to do that, and it was a great part of my job. But I'd look people in the eye, and I'd say, we've got a cause worth supporting. And I'd talk about some of the things going on there. And I can talk to you now about things that are happening here. Or I can tell you to just look around at one another. So I see most of you are still looking at me. A couple of you are looking around. That's good. But this is what I'm asking you to invest your money in. And I'm not going to promise you that the boss, in this parable, it's supposed to be God, is going to come down and say, good and faithful servant. But, God will know that you're giving to the church. God will know that you're helping keep the light bulbs on. God will know that you're keeping the heat on. God will know that you're providing a place for musicians to perform. God will know that you are performing service to your neighbors through the Open Door Ministry. God will know all of these things and so much more. So please, do not bury your treasure. When I started thinking about my sermon this week, I thought about pirates. And do you remember when you were a kid? You heard about pirates and they had treasure maps. Remember Robert Louis Stevenson? X marks the spot. There are no buried treasures in this community. There is no stash of money buried in Colburn Park, nor here at First Congregational Church. But there is a wealth of talents buried here. And I'm looking at one member of our congregation who works very hard for us, keeping the kitchen clean, the bathrooms clean, and we appreciate what you do, Barb. I can look at Walter. I've been looking at you throughout the service, but that's because you often have the really cute kid here. But he's downstairs right now. But Walter, you've put in so much time with the Board of Governors, and we're going to be better stewards of your church gifts because the church building and the parsonage are better insulated now. Those projects require time. They don't just happen. I think I said it last week, the dog doesn't walk itself. The church is a dog. Hopefully you like dogs. If you want a different example, I could say the church is like a wooden boat. And if you ever had a boat and it's wooden, you know that you start at the bow and you work your way back to the stern maintenance, and then you get to start all over again. This is an old building. It doesn't take care of itself. But it's a beautiful building. And it's a building with great acoustics. And it's a place where we can meet as a community for worship each week. And it's a place where we can have meetings. So there's a lot that goes on here. And I'm going to look at the choir again. Thank you for your gift of music each week. I could not do what you do. And I'm not going to tell that bad joke again about heaven and hell. But I can't do that. I cannot sing like you. And that is a gift. So one of the reasons I had a career in fundraising is because people don't like asking other people for money. That was it. I was given a paycheck because I was willing to go out and ask strangers for money. Now, I got to do a little bit of research before I met with them, and I often had a department that could do in-depth research for me. But I had to look people in the eye and ask them for a specific gift. And one of the things I learned in fundraising is that asking for the smaller gifts is often harder than asking for the big gifts. Because the people who are going to get the big gifts have already shown a commitment to the institution. They've done some pre-soliciting. But the small gifts are where we're asking people to make a gift, perhaps for the first time. And I don't want to say that anybody here is a small giver, because everyone's gift matters. And if you feel that making a pledge is beyond you, I would ask why. Why? Why don't you want to write down, I pledge to give $1 to First Congregational Church of Lebanon? We're not going to judge you on that. I don't look at the giving records. And I've said this from the pulpit before, I see who's here at church each week. I know who's volunteering. That's the way I'm going to judge people. But I also know that life is complex and people have various claims on their time. And I would just ask you to carve some time out for the church. And I thank you for carving out Sunday mornings. That's a good place to start. So I ask you to prayerfully consider your stewardship pledge, and if you've got your form with you and you've thought about it already, you can put in the plate this morning, and we will give thanks for that. We will be accepting pledges through the end of the year, and frankly, we'll be accepting them into next year. When you're ready to pledge, please do so. But I would love to say that we have 100% participation in pledging at this church. We have not had that. And we've had some people who've been very generous givers who've insisted on giving each year, and they've done it repeatedly, but they have not wanted to fill out the pledge form. Make the commitment. When you fill in the pledge form, you're making a commitment not just to First Congregational Church, but also to God. We do not have an agency that's going to chase you down at the end of the year if you haven't been able to fulfill your pledge. We don't. There are no bill collectors here. But I would ask you to think about what God has given you. And I've been thinking about Russ a lot the last few weeks since he passed away. But Russ was a good guy. But I disagreed with him. And I still disagree with him. Everything he had in his life was given to him by God. Now, if you don't believe in God, the first question is, what are you doing here? The second is, where do you think your brains or your talents came from? You want to credit evolution? Okay, you can do that. But you're still not responsible for that. I'm going to credit God. And as we look at the big wide world, we've been pretty fortunate by what we've been given and what we have to give. So I will say thank you in advance to each and every one of you for your support. I will say thank you in advance for your continuing to worship here on Sunday mornings. If you're visiting, thank you for coming here today. If you're a longtime member, thank you for being part of this community. Thank you. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Scripture and the lessons it holds for us. Please be with us as we make our way through life and help us to turn to you and to your word as we seek guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.